And welcome everyone to another Adventures into Reality. We are going to have an incredible, wonderful, stupendous, and miraculous show today as we take the adventure into reality, as we make known the unknown, we make seen the unseen. And in this process of seeing the unseen and doing the undoing, we learn that leaders are around. And tonight we do have a person that we are going to be reading, but later in the show. Right now, we have had such a big response from our chatters, from our people that are part of the Q&A session. We want you to know we are going to be taking questions specifically from the audience over a period of parts of the segments for the shows. We want you to go to galactichistorian.com/live. Okay, there is a special chat room where we will be taking all of the live questions from. We're going to be doing a stream read similar to something like I did earlier, but right now I want to introduce Danielle Lynn live from Down Under.
Hi there, Andrew.
How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great today. It's just been such an energetically beautiful day today. I had a lot of I did a lot of healing last night on myself, and I am just feeling that energy today. So made sure to bring my A-game energy to this show.
A-game, there we go. We always want their A-game. We want our leaders. poking. Anyways, last show we had over 800 comments on that particular show. And it was just really, really a popular show, and people were asking specific questions.
Oh yeah, that was a really great show. We had so many people chatting with us and asking questions and interacting. And the only thing, you know, the only drawback I saw at all was that there were so many we didn't have a time to address everybody. Which is why we've started to do this other live chat function, because we really wanted to make sure that everyone got a chance to be heard, and that's the key here. Okay, the energy that you guys all bring into this show, that's part of what makes this such a special event. So like Andrew said, if you go to galactichistorian.com/live, you don't have to sign up for anything. You can join as a guest, or you can join under one of your social media names, but this way you can participate. And again, anyone can participate in this chat with us during the show. So go ahead and go there, because that's what we'll be interacting with you. So today, meow is our statement on that. So
meow, 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 meow. In the words of the Lyrian philosopher, meow, meow. So Danielle, we're going to start off with a stream read, and for those people that are in the chat room right now, we would like you to choose a city, state, or country anywhere in the world. And I'm going to listen to the first five suggestions and see how they intertwine with the world. And I'm going to go from one of those suggestions to bring and start the stream read.
Perfect. So right now.
Doot, 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 doot. And who is the next city, state, or town? Well, that is going to be the next contestant on the delayed Adventures into Reality.
All right. I hear New York. We have, I'll read you a few. We have New York. We have Toronto, Canada. Another one for, this one's called Christchurch, New Zealand. Let me see. And those are what's coming in so far, because a few people are just starting to come in here. Houston, Japan, Finland, Austria, Brisbane, Australia, Canada, Sanbury, Canada, Arizona, Toronto, Iceland, Long Island, New York. Are any of these grabbing you?
No. Those are all sacred geometry. The other Australian one is people are catching me live on the video over here putting my power cord in.
Ha-ha.
So, yes, I got it before it decided to go blink. New York is sacred geometry. All that sacred geometry, I mean, they're all intertwined with the system of domination controls, attempt to create alternate timeline infusions every summer solstice, every winter solstice, every equinox, so on and so forth. So those programs are pretty set. When we find a city, let's say like somewhere in the middle of Nigeria, or some little city in Mexico, or some different city. I mean, Edmonton's a big city, Calgary's a big city, and those were all built on the backs of Masons that were murdering Native Americans throughout that entire area. Again, it's really, really, really set in stone with what's going to go on in those particular sacred geometry grids. When I do stream like reads like this, what I'm looking for is something that people don't know. Something that in the Akashic record, by going there in a sacred neutral perspective and seeing the Akashic record and filtering through that layers of information, are the little pieces to the puzzle that help us see the way the earth spins and its fractality of understandings and misunderstandings. So I'm going to choose one. I'm going to choose one. And for next time that we do this, we want people to really, really get out there to really think, you know, what cities are unknown that are actually making a difference.
And did you want to hear a few more? Because there are some to be a little less out there, it is. Okay, so we have Ann Arbor, Michigan. We do have Corner Brook, Newfoundland. We have Mount Ida, Arkansas for the crystals. Australia.
Mount Ida, Arkansas.
Mount Ida, Arkansas.
That's Crystal UFO Central. That has been in a extended timeline incursion battle for about 4,000 years. When timeline incursions come through, they need a way to come through, something that created a dimensional rift that bled through other dimensions in time-space, even if that bleed-through was led by technology or technology allowed the environment to create said tear in the reality in which beings can project their sentience through time and space and then alter time and space to their will. That entire area is seeded as a massive water gardens of life all throughout the Texarkana, Louisiana, Alabama, Florida, the Gulf of Mexico was meant to nourish trillions of different kinds of lives, from salt water to brackish water to fresh water. And all the native species and plants that would go through the different extinction phases there, trillions upon trillions of different sentient entities would function through there. Now, the crystalline concept that's there was part of the seeding process that helped the existing ancestors there create powerful homing beacons so that their dreaming world could reach even farther in one degree of separation of their universal soul family, so that they could send out a homing beacon to their other soul families and other universes that they were accepting special invitations and a special planet to live. And the Mount Ida area is an example of this homing beacon technology, amplification of it. So anyone that possesses that area, whether it's in matrix possession or spiritual possession, you have access to the technology, which when used properly or improperly can really cause a lot of immigration issues with soul structures in that particular area, which can lead to mass layers of trappings. And this is one of those layers of why the South had a tremendous amount of slavery scenarios put into it. It was a way to harness the land, harness the spirit, and force debt into the souls that work the land.
I see. Did you want to...
Yeah, if you have another one, it will work deeper.
I do. Let me actually list you three, and you can, or four, and you can tell me which one of these four you want to cover next. So we have Gobi Desert, we have Kyonji, Korea, which is spelled as Kyonji. We have Beijing, and we have Serbia.
I'll do Gobi Desert, and I'll touch a little on Beijing.
Okay.
Well, Gobi Desert. Now, it is a flat, arid desert with big mountains of sand on it that rapidly goes through changes. That is a extremely special reality. because there was several million layers of reality there that were all erased. It's like somebody went in with whiteout and said, that doesn't exist, that doesn't exist, that doesn't exist, that doesn't exist, until all you have left is an arid plain with what a few insects, bugs, and plants and some tribes people that live in the particular area, with some very ancient monuments that have somehow made it through this erasure process. And the Gobi Desert has large volumes of secret military forces, UFO forces, both for good and bad. The main understanding here is the door technology. When you erase a reality, you leave a door so you can create another reality. It's like walking into a hall of doors. And the Gobi Desert is the representative of Earth's hall of doors. People frequently, you hear me talk about Earth can reach out into the dreaming minds of planets not even yet created. This is a physical structure created by six and fifth dimensional beings during the recession of the Atlantean perceptions of multifunctional dimensionality. At about 4.5 million years ago, they were on the verge of becoming very zealot Atlanteans. So they decided that they needed to leave a zealot legacy that allowed them to create an ever-evolving house of doors in which future generations can step in and take over the door technology so that their species that were locked out of time could have an advantage to get back into Earth. And this is the way they began essentially breaking all spiritual incarnation rules. This is the thing that broke the camel's back, you know, the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. Was the structures built in the Gobi Desert. How this applies to our world right now, well, there's a whole bunch of future planets about to be created that have massive, massive migrations lined up. And many of these immigration processes have been held up by the graduation process on Earth, as well as the 65 other planets in the galactic ascension machine. We are literally basically got the union strike up, and the soul commerce market is having a very, very serious issue. So the Gobi Desert is where the highest beings here on Earth, who know that the graduation timeline has been active, that if they claim this technology somehow, some way, they'll be first in line to get out or bring something in. It's a very important part of sacred geometry, the ability to create portals in any place, in any spot and time where sentience could even possibly exist. You would have the access to its energy field to do whatever you wanted with, an unlimited feeding ground.
Wow. A feeding ground of energy. That's interesting. Are there other places that are like this or just this location?
You have things that are similar, but this is unique to our universe, this door creation technology. There's other similar concepts of door creation technology, but this one is even different than the one that I've mentioned that's in Kenya, which is a giant underground hall of mirrors. That's the shadows of the self that entered the galactic machine. That's the representation of how you can see every fractured soul shard in simultaneous existence in all dimensions, time streams, and paradoxes. This is access to all dimensions, time streams, and paradoxes, even ones that have not been created yet. It is the, you know, that in the movie like The Matrix 3 where you go behind the doors with all the keys. In metaphor, that's what this technology represents. It's harnessed your capability of being in future existences yet to exist in the dream aspect, in the galactic to universal scale of dreaming.
I see. Beautiful. Someone is asking on the chats, you know, since we did some readings and you had stated some of the ones that were being named, such as Los Angeles and New York or sacred geometry, you're not going to read them. Would you be able to just explain briefly, like, why that's not something that we...
I have a 30-plan show. And when people ask the obvious right away and don't get the obvious, I'm not being a teacher. Okay, you know, what can I say about New York City? Corrupt organization, head of the banking industry, some serious, serious shit going down there. Does it need to be any more than that? No. Same with Los Angeles, the center of the movie industry, center of propaganda. Same thing with many of the other things. We have to learn that our military-industrial complex influences local areas to be total slave areas. And it's very difficult to break out of the sacred geometry areas. And when you go into there, their predictions are very simple, so simple. And when we get to a place where the reality is a little less, like someplace like Reykjavik, Iceland, or Pistorius, South Africa, or some other town that in its own aspect stands out in the Akashic record as something that has changed the total potential of the Earth. Because that's what I do in the stream read. I spin the globe around and around and around, and I look at every single city on every single continent, every single country and state, all spinning, and I'm looking through perception in the prediction model, the same one that the system's using. Where are we unpredictable? When we learn what unpredictability means, we learn where the holes in the machine's ability to predict us is. And then we can go into specific places and read that Akashic record and watch the house of cards fall around the world. It's like, dink, it all falls over. So, you know, New York City, you know, you can dink and dink and dink, and it's been picked at a million times because its reality is stable. It's static. Consciousness has not been able to overwhelm the positive, the negative forces have not been overwhelmed by the positive forces, and are in such decline in that particular area that for that to happen, there has to be a mass media of event that takes the yoke off of them, the yoke of control.
And this is one reason why you've suggested people do the contract revocation sort of as a mob, like a flash mob.
Yeah.
And things like that to start breaking up this reality. A question that was somewhat posed that connects with what we're talking about here is for people who are in these sacred geometry cities, as many people do live, you know, in Los Angeles or New York or Toronto, would you just suggest that they be very focused on their ceremony in order to help? I don't know if I would say shield them, but
on their ceremony anyways. The vast majority of people shouldn't be joining these mass group meditations, especially when you're really new to your own ceremony. It's about you, not about sharing with everyone else. Once you know you, sharing with everyone else is vastly, vastly easier. Work on your own toxicity. Work on your own mental and spiritual health for a few weeks before you decide to go and join these meat market meditations.
Meat market meditations. That's an interesting way to pose it. What does happen to individuals if they find themselves in these, as you say, meat market meditations? It's just do they find themselves just drained and buzzed out?
They find themselves having very positive experiences followed up by very negative experiences as their waking minds are trying to stay awake, and all of a sudden the shared emotions of everyone else who are open empaths in a guided meditation, all of a sudden you're all sharing the dirty energy underwear equally. So how are you ever going to get back to your own energy? Okay, I'm not saying don't do them ever. I'm saying don't do them when you're new to ceremony. It's like teaching a kid, you know, to swear all the time before you teach him how to speak normal language. You're jumping way, way ahead of the process. And so many people are so desperate for something to do and feel that they jump into these mass meditations. And what ends up happening, it could take a handful of people who really have tried to wake up, but they have a massive porn addiction, and they're just full of psychic parasites, sharing it with everyone that's in that frequency, because you all have made a decision to bind on that moment in time, space, and do what? Share a unity frequency. And for those lightworker freaks out there that say that my shields are strong enough, bullshit. Bullshit. Not only are you lying to yourself about that, you're in a scenario where you're going to hurt even more people. Your light is what's attracting people. It's what is attracting the parasites. And when you come together in that format without a universal guided protection at all levels, the ones that don't know it, it just takes one, okay? And that one has a cell phone in his pocket that has 400 porn pictures. Guess what? That's the one degree of net separation the system needs to do whatever it wants to your meditation. Or let's just say, you know, you happen to do it on your computer and you don't realize that your kid is watching all sorts of porn stuff on your computer, and you're this, you know, love and light person, but don't pay attention to your own kid on the computer. Okay? All of those scenarios come in. So what I'm saying is, when you're new to ceremony, new to what I'm explaining, new to any ceremony, stay in your own energy field. Learn that, because that is the skill that will teach you of what survival and thriving is. There's a big difference. Survival's barely scratching the surface. Thriving is you are charging forward with your own energy, knowing what you are here to do, knowing what you're supposed to do, not having to stop and ask and check and muscle this of what you're actually going to do. Because you know.
Someone here is saying, and I think that you've already explained this, but I think it would just help to give a little clarity for those who aren't following your message right now. They say, I thought there was more power to make change when meditating together with the same intention. And what I'll say is that is exactly what Andrew just said, but he's saying before you do that, before you jump in, you know, to cannonball into the pool, so to speak, make sure that you have first handled yourself, your energy, your ceremony, so you can participate in a healthy way without being affected by these different things from one degree to separation. Is that correct, Andrew?
Or being the cause of it.
Yeah, that too.
Okay, that too. You know, there are things beyond your awareness. Like, there could be one particular person in the meditation who is a spirit that is a karmic retribution spirit, and they have no idea that they're born that way. And what is a karmic retribution spirit? Everything that they do in their lives cause ruin and havoc in one degree of separation of them. You know, they pull out of their driveway and cut someone off, and that person that gets cut off is 8 minutes for work and gets yelled at, and that happens every day, and that person doesn't even know that the way they live their life negatively affects everyone else. And they could jump into a meditation thinking, oh, great, and all of a sudden karma comes a-calling. And everyone that has any degree of separation for karmic retributing souls all of a sudden takes a baseball bat to the gut.
Jeez. So to answer the question for those listening, yes, meditation groups can be positive, but
I'm talking the mass meditation groups with 200,000, 2,000, 5,000. Mm-hmm. I'm talking, be prepared for those. And I'm not saying don't do them again. I'm saying be in your own power. Knowing what that power is, allow your ceremonial time to be your ceremonial time. Separate what's on the computer and on the TV from your actual time and ceremony. So you shouldn't be meditating in front of the computer. You know, that I get these people all the time. You know, I do 6 meditations a week in front of the computer. And I'm like, dummy, you can't go outside and do them. You have to do it in front of your technology.
You know,
and then they ask me, why am I not going forward in my progression? Because you're not really doing ceremony in front of your computer. You're not really doing meditation in front of your computer. It is still occupying part of your mind. And so that computer is off, and you're actually in a scenario where you're not watching anything. And you can close your eyes without that subliminal knowing if you open your eyes, you're going to see a screen.
So when you're talking, because you're talking right now about the computers, and you've mentioned, for example, like a wonderful, highly evolved being to be working on a computer where they don't even realize that there's, you know, hundreds of parasites or porn images stuck in there. They're also asking, do psychic parasites go away with time, or do they actually require?
They do go away with time. They're like your body has spiritual antibodies. When it reaches a point where it's becoming invasive, different parts of your spirit will come out and work as antibodies. And the other times that it's got enough of your core frequency that it's mimicking your energy and your antibodies don't affect it. So it could be there a really long time. I've had many, many scenarios where I'm, you know, working and doing healings and the parasites have been there 15, 18 years since an incident in which they were masturbatorily abusing themselves for a month and a half because they broke up with their girlfriend, so on and so forth, and they were just stuck in that frame of mind, and they got through the dark night of the soul but didn't clean up the pollution in their field, and that just keeps attracting psychic parasites until finally one gets their frequency, and that parasite will put out a psychic pheromone warning all other parasites this body's owned, kind of like peeing on your territory or bears putting scat in an area.
Hmm. Interesting. I see. Okay. So that's actually a good question to address because, for some people who have come across these parasites, it can be worrisome to think that you couldn't ever dislodge them, but it's still a good idea to practice
So
safe
this
practice.
has been a good beginning to the show, and we have a Gary that we're going to be reading here. So why don't we bring in Gary now? And we want to remind people, go to galactichistorian.com/live, and there's a special chat there. So after Gary's reading, if people have questions and answer questions, we'll be going through the Q&A afterwards, and that is the only place that we'll be mining questions. So if you're on the YouTube live watch page, please head over to galactichistorian.com/live. There's the link there, so you'll still be able to listen to it, and a special chat feature that everyone's available to.
Wonderful. So I think we're bringing Gary on. That's what we're going to do now.
So, Gary, are you there?
Am here, thank you.
Okay, could you just speak up a little bit? It's a little hard to hear you.
I have a cyst on my vocal cord. You'll have to excuse my voice. I'm sorry. I will speak
It's
up
okay.
though if that.
Could you move just a little closer to the phone, or put it right over, and might be a little bit better.
How is that?
Much better. Yes, everyone will be able to hear you now.
I turned off my speaker on my phone. Sorry about that.
Okay.
How are we doing,
So,
Pooh?
I'm doing good today. How did you find out about the reading show?
Well, I heard you with Lance White on the Mount Shasta interview, and I was already involved with some other sites were Winfrey as the Spirit Channel with the Ra'an group and the Elohim, and I followed Cobra and followed other groups, and I was already into doing quite a bit of meditation, working on my dreams, and waking up every day and blessing this beautiful planet, and getting up and realizing that we're all in the same boat together, and we're all brothers and sisters. So I was totally elated with your knowledge and your ability to access the Acacia records.
Well, thank you. And so what about this that made you want to come on the show? Was it specific in the Akashic Records? I did read the little thing that you had posted in there, which made me choose you. I identified in that immediate frequency. You were a person that could really help a lot of people that are listening, that are going through that change of wanting to know more and more and willing to be a communicator and facilitator.
Yeah, I first of all want to be honest with myself and be honest with others. I'm quite vocal about my beliefs of releasing all my beliefs, and the I'm in a I'm a healer of somewhat with my hands. I've been a recording musician in Los Angeles for 45 years. I've recorded on thousands of records from Elvis to Michael Jackson to a lot of big records. So I've been a part of joy on the planet. And I want to spread that joy and I want to find out how I can release the karma and move on. And I've done my sovereign revocations. I'm a member of New Earth Nation. I've claimed my sovereignty. I've done like you've done. It was pretty far out to sit in front of the fire and tell my own story. But it was just me in the room, so it was cool. And
Very, very good.
so I'm a work in progress. I don't specifically remember my dreams. I do astral travel. I've been to the Arcturian Temple. I have an Arcturian guide by the name of Indal that is always there when I think of his name and meditate to him. I try to put a sphere around me, an aura of protection. And so I'm just dealing with this new earth and trying to learn as much as I can.
Okay, so your main question is what you can do to help your self-relief from belief system, or did you have specific questions you wanted to start with?
Well, one of the questions I had was that could you comment on the City of Light, the Jenny Townsend City of Light that's going to be in Sedona, which is already there, and we can't see it yet because of our lower vibrations.
Well, I happen to live in Yelm, Washington, and Yelm is a very special place, much like Sedona, and there are astral cities that are here in Yelm that become slightly visible at times when the veil is very thin. And the ones that you're talking are in a very similar situation. The people can see them at times, but what they can't do is make them manifest until a lot more of the soul family homing beacons have turned on. So for these light cities and soul family, we're going to call them refugee camps. That's the best way to describe them, is where multidimensional beings create consciousness exploration vessels, which is they let go of their physical bodies, they become energy bodies, they bond with dozens or hundreds of other beings with the express purpose of coming to another reality like Earth and setting up a temporary bubble of reality in which souls can come in and be linked to a collective that helps them find their other soul family members. It's much like the wall of records of who is where in the world. And as I'm tuning into your nature of this question, there's a whole lot of things about who you're connected to. One of the reasons you're asking about this, and I can see your Arcturian guide helping filter through some of the Akashic information, pointing out something really specific for you. You were a part of a deluge that affected Lower Peru from a massive aquifer that was created to benefit a Vorgoran species, which was very aggressive towards Arcturians who were settling on Earth. And in fact, the Vorgorians were incarnating here on Earth to specifically hunt and kill Arcturians. And that is where you kind of went astray from the collective. And when you went astray from the collective, you fell into the classic Earth zealot format in which you became a hunter of the hunters. And this is something why you're in mass music right now. When you became a hunter of the hunted, you became villainously known, quite villainously known as a butcher of those that would hunt your kin, one who had fallen victim to their own belief. And as I'm looking deeper into this, one of the reasons this is so important in your Akashic record is the music that you helped do throughout the many, 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 many decades. Your frequency, your signature frequency in every single song you ever recorded, whether it was heard by the public or not, was completing very specific karma to all those beings you ever hunted, and it was your contract that you created as a resolution to all of that karma you created. You would dedicate yourself to that life in service of it, to all those musicians that were there to be creative in that moment in which their career was saying that the Rainmaker is there if you can produce the trueness of voice, the trueness of song, the trueness of music that not only crosses over the dollar barrier, but crosses over the barriers of generations.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. So I think one of the ways that you can be more understanding of that predator-prey scenario, let me look here. Each night that you're going to sleep, I want you to begin a new out loud saying, and one that says that I'm at peace with all scenarios in which I was predator or prey. I am in unity with all moments that I was predator or prey. I am in communion and union with Earth in the process of my evolution so that I never return to predator or prey. I am in union and communion with all future ancestors who wish to incarnate without the predator prey. I am a being of sovereign free will, a photonic light being making a choice to not be a part of predator and prey. All karma, all belief systems that are projected onto me by predators or prey is hereby returned to the spiritual courts of equity that are always a part of our frequency. I remain as pure as I can. I remain as true as I can to my co-creative, procreative spirit linked to Mother Earth with full knowledge that we are manifesting beings, not beings of predator or prey.
Great.
Okay, so what other questions do you have?
Well, you're exactly right with my whole life has been a many generation of musicians, and I've reached out to billions of people with the recordings I've been part of. I'm also an artist at the same time. So this is a part of the healing, and my wife has some very serious cancer, double mastectomy, and four-stage metastatic tubular carcinoma, and HER2 and bone cancer. And we just stay in the light. She's gone. Instead of 4 months of dying, she's here 20 months. And it would be difficult to even know that she's sick because of her attitude and her love for other people. And so I just gathering this momentum of being of service to others and the knowledge that I don't quite all understand it all the stuff that you talk about, but I certainly am trying to understand it and embrace it. And it's so, I guess that's not a question. It's an answer of being part of the solution. New Earth Nation has been a big leap for me because I'm not just sitting on the sideline. I'm actually have my name there as a sovereign human being. And I'm part of the new common law and the true law of this planet and of us humans.
Wonderful. By being able to make that statement, it was very, very, for your importment of your soul, that going through the last section of the slave mentality as well as the martyr. Oftentimes the martyr and the slave go hand in hand. Sometimes we're martyr slaves to being martyrs. And that's kind of what you've been coming through. And I'm looking at your wife now, and I'm looking at you, how you're interwoven with spiritual contracts. And your wife has a very, very similar spiritual contract phase as you. She's coming through a different respect. You know, we all have done bad things in this galactic ascension machine life, but we've also done every good thing and everything in between. And sometimes our souls just fixate onto one concept. And the end time, where we go through the consciousness evolution, where we go through the consciousness spike, where we can say we are sovereign free will beings who do not need to use money to declare the way that we live, that we do not have to have a system of debt that says who owes who, or the hierarchical structure where those at the top never actually work, but the slaves below always are doing that. So one of the things that will really help you and your wife here going through these times of change is to be a part of the love and the light, to be a part of that frequency. And something even more is, you know, you can write music about her that can jump generations. You know, I'm seeing such a big Arcturian collective around you. They're holding hands in a big semicircle around you. And there's layers upon layers upon layers of like a chorus that's stacked up one behind the other, except they're in the sphere around you. And they're all projecting this collective music to you, and each bit of the music is about Arcturian poetry, about all the people that have been lost from their society to Earth, the lure of the mysteries of Earth that has drawn away some of the most powerful Arcturian consciousness explorers from the farthest enders of the farthest universes, not even creation yet. They have come here and now and found themselves trapped. And there were those beings like you who were never entangled with the galactic ascension machine and made a choice at about 11.5 million years ago during the fourth paradox that if they didn't come in now, that the end time of the fifth paradox, that more than likely the darkness would win and the light would lose, and neutrality would be the only thing left to prevent the darkness from spreading to all other galaxies, dimensions, time streams, and universe. I and the neutrality isn't going to interfere except to protect their own frequency, their own reality. It's the very nature of that neutral witness. And that was one of the conundrums so many of the higher ascending Arcturians faced, that they had to abandon their neutrality or discover a whole new way that neutrality can mean a way of life that's beneficial for all sentient beings in all dimensions and time streams, even those in predator prey. So you were part of a Dolma, an Arcturian soul family group, that made a decision, made an oath to planet Arcturus, the actual soul of the planet, saying that they would come to this thing, this galactic ascension machine, and they would stay in it for that fourth paradox and that fifth, and they'd repeat the first, second, and third as if they were in it from the beginning, just to make sure that their powerful ascending masters, ones that have been lured into this million-year mystery, that they'd have a way out, that they weren't going to leave their families behind. So no, you came here with a mission to make sure at the end that you would have done this lifetime that you just did, shared with your wife. Pat yourself on the back. You made it. You shouldn't have. But there were so many people in the industry that were protecting you from those that could have really ruined your life.
Yes.
Now, how many times have you turned down the Rainmaker?
Many times.
Many. That's because you got heart and you got soul, and you know if you took that deal with the devil, you'd be dead.
Yeah, it doesn't even look appetizing.
That's right.
And but also to my fellow man, by, like you say, co-creating, mm-hmm. and putting your spirit out there. Sure covers a lot of ground, and it says a lot for everyone.
Yeah,
we're all in this together. If we just embrace, and all these people that are here on this call and follow you, Andrew, are like-minded people, and they want to know, and they want to connect. And it's just, this is a lovely, lovely thing, and thank you.
Thank you. So what other kinds of questions did you have for me? Let's go deep.
Well, One of the things is of course the belief systems. As I'm very gently, but quite often speaking to my very hip comrades and colleagues about belief systems and about why is this such a hard technology to break, and why is it so difficult for people to let it go?
Because it goes all the way into your light body DNA. Our physical DNA, this DNA lineage that we are currently living in, is a manifestation from your mother and father, who created a portal with an egg and a sperm for your soul to come in and manifest a photonic technology that is a DNA code, which allows you to make arms, legs, butts, fingers, eyelashes, so that your soul can be a part of it and begin experiencing. Okay, why it's so hard is we come in with these belief systems ingrained into our soul from the way we get light body reviews that aren't real light. They're false light body reviews, where false light beings and archons are putting slave concepts into you, so that when you come back in, the things that you begin to remember as a baby are your slave lifetimes. Instead of you naturally going through all of your memories and determining in that free will spirit that is 1 year old to 4 years old before its innocence is broken, so you, because you're still connected to the dream world fully then, and that's why it's so hard. And then you have propaganda technology that was created knowing that you can influence photonic light technology if it's sitting in front of the TV for 8 hours a day, and that you can enforce the programming as the I Am Presence is witnessing things through story and culture and science and whatever, to enforce hundreds of different archetypes of slave service or sloth or envy or jealousy. And those are just so much a part of our photonic element that when you're in the astral worlds, you don't have it. But as soon as you go through the filter of being born, it's there. And it's very, very difficult in the astral world to remove those from your photonic light because you are an ever-present being, fully aware. In this world, we can do psychic surgery. So many, many beings thought if they could come in, they would be able to find a psychic surgeon here on Earth. But the vast majority of them were just wiped out in the Atlantean hunter-killer scenarios in which Vigorans, Jorans, and a bunch of others, they came here and said, everyone that's a psychic surgeon, you're wanted, dead or alive. And they put a $1 million bounty in every single one. And every bounty hunter from the galaxies around here, we didn't know that what the Galactic Ascension Machine came, killed off all the people existing in one generation, went to the astral world, and these bounty hunters, thinking that they were going to leave, all of a sudden realize they're now in a permanent contract. Every time these psychic surgeons come back into life, they're going to go hunt them down. So how do we break light body programming? I am presence contract revocation is just the 101 teaching. There is a whole other way of voice speaking with elements, talking to the fire, talking to the water, talking to the wind, the air, the earth. That's the power of your voice. And then you have the power of your voice combined with something that you have manifested, such as a flute, a drum, or a guitar. You know, the drum has many, many prophecies about the talking drum, as well as the flute, and cultures throughout all of time. And then you have the more refined instruments like the piano and the electrical instruments, the saxophone, the cornets, the strings, the wood instruments. All of those things are a way that this photonic light technology can use every layer of expression in interaction with its hands, feet, eyes, toes, or whatever to create a frequency of unity. That's how you break the photonic light technology, learning to play a musical instrument and getting into that zone where you are that infinite being. And that infinite being can begin to see and do its own psychic surgery on its own belief systems. You know, it's like knowing that racism is wrong but still selling a racist joke and laughing at it. So that is where the belief system is giving you negative reinforcement. And we can begin to eliminate those by identifying what they are in our life. Here's an example. You're always late to work. Why are you always late to work? You can break that being late to work by setting a goal of being up earlier. And we can break those habit patterns that are built into us, such as envy, jealousy, hatred. And we have to identify where we gave those frequencies room in ourselves so that we can vent or rant about it. And there is where we begin the fine revocation of, no, I don't want that in my field of energy. I do not want to attract those type of people, because when you are that, everything around you is just your reflection of what should be in your life or what is in your life. And when we are radiating beings of light that have taken our belief system by the reins and say, I am in control and not the body who has been experiencing this.
That's great. That is great. And working on what is really true unconditional love. And because there's always a but in there about character and what you think that character of that person is, or what your thoughts of is, because of the way we were born and raised. And the unconditional love has no barriers, has no limits, and it's consistent. It doesn't, no matter what level our fellow man's in, you still love them, because
that's right.
We were all at different levels. So these are the things that I truly work on every day, and love this gorgeous planet we're on. And just understanding that all the planets are live entities of great ascension, and I've been here for a long time. And just coming to that realization in the first place, from that it was just a walk for half my life. And so I thank you again. I think you answered all my questions, Andrew.
All right. Well, what's going on with your voice? I want to do a little bit of work on what's going on with your throat and some of the energy in your body.
I have a cyst on my vocal cord. and it's not, it's benign. It just grew there like, I don't know, just came on. I figure it's been some kind of blockage or something, but it hasn't stopped me, it hasn't slowed me down, it's just annoying.
All right, I'm looking at it right now. I've got it. All right, this cyst is actually karma. This is a karmic cyst on your voice. And I've got it in the tips of my fingers here. Let me just separate why it's here. This is like opening up a Russian egg that's very, very delicate. Okay, I want you to call upon your Arcturian guide.
Okay.
To open up the collective hall of records inside that cyst. You know where it is exactly in your throat. You can feel it.
Yes.
I want you to have him open up the hall of records. Collective to all collectives. And I want you to share that collective with all collectives to every piece of music you've ever written. You know, you may not physically remember them, but in this metaphorical concept, this is why this cyst is here. You were not allowed to have the collective frequency of the Arcturians in every piece of your music. And this is a representation of what was suppressed from you. And now you're at a stage where taking away that suppression will heal this cyst. There's lots of scenarios in which why this cyst existed. There were certain frames of music you had one way and somebody altered another way that took away from that collective frequency that you were bringing, and it altered the chemistry of the music that you were trying to create. And oftentimes you had oral arguments with these people who were really idiots about music. Now I'm just pulling out hundreds of arguments, suspended voices. You don't need these. Every time your voice was ever suppressed, you need to let this go about whatever was going on in the music industry. You made it. You've earned the right to be free of this energy.
So this is in the Hall of Records collectives of the collectives with all. I mean, collectives
right.
Of the collectives share. I'm sharing my music with the Arcturians.
Yes.
I will do that.
There we go.
I you know, the joy, whether I'm playing with one person or 100 people, which I do all this quite often, I'm very active, is the joy of just a dyad or even a triad with another person. It's pure joy. Doesn't matter anybody else is listening or anything else. And that's what the joy of music is, and I'm so glad that you advocate for people to play music and be creative with something, drums, anything that shows the pulse of the heart.
That's right.
Because that's who we are.
You know, the very first music we heard was in the sac of our fetus sac, hearing your mother's heart and your own heart beating, the double drum of life. It's the first thing everyone's heard. That's how closely we connected are to sound and music. For 9 months, that's what you hear is the beat of your mother's heart and the beat of your own heart. Constantly in rhythm, constantly in joy.
Wow, I didn't even ever think of that.
Okay, I'm just pulling some really dense energies out of your throat right now. When you tried your talking to the story, your fire to the story, how did that go?
It went real well. In fact, my voice is already starting to clear up. Thank you.
I know people can hear it.
I felt lighter when I told my story in front of the fire, and you know, I just felt lighter. I felt sort of some of the weight off my shoulders. And
what I'd like you to do is to go back to the fire and go, you know, I've told my story, but there are some scenarios in which I never got to speak in my life. And I think in your 30, 40 years in the industry, you knew that there were times that you just shut up and took the money. So whatever drama was going on was going on. And there are things that you need to say about the industry in the 40 years that only you and the fire need to know.
Absolutely. A lot of that negative works that I was a part of was never the purpose. The purpose was playing with the other musicians.
Absolutely.
And there was always the joy there, so it was a protective field or a protective place I was in. And you're absolutely right with the corruption of the movies and the records, and it's all done on purpose. With not to say there's not great artists out there, they are, but signing the deal with the Rainmaker, no. And I know people that's done it, and unfortunately, they're not here anymore.
That's right. And they didn't make that deal with the devil.
Yeah.
So when you get a chance to go in front of that fire again, you're saying it for yourself in your own way, but you're also saying it for every other musician that took that Rainmaker's deal, and they're trapped and they're out. Because telling the truth at that level from the inside to that element of fire is a great healing for your soul. And for all those that never knew they could do it. And when you choose to do it out loud by the fire and enter it into the Earth Akashic Record, every being who's ever heard one note of your music now has that in their energetic frequency of unity of what went on in the music industry. The truth. And the good truths. Not just the bad truths, the good truths too.
Yeah.
That's why you bringing that collective of collectives to that cyst is so important, because you're going to link every note that you've ever played, that's ever been recorded, has ever been live on air or listened to. All of those beings now have access to the collective. And all you got to do is tell the rest of the truth. Just you and the fire. It's not about drama or anyone listening in or writing it down. It's your chance to do what's just right to your soul.
Thank you. I will do that.
Thank you. You have been an incredible read, and there's just a rocket in the chat room of people going by. You know, Gary, you have been absolutely special. I'd like to do a little something more here with you. There's a whole bunch of projections on you that I'm just clearing off right now. Your lower back, your neck, your eyes. Have you tried to take any salt baths recently?
I have not, but I do gargle with Himalayan salt.
What I'd like you to do is tonight and for the next 4 or 5 nights in a row, and during the day if you can too, is to take a salt bath.
Okay,
what that's going to do is all of the energy that's in the very edges of your aura, that is projections that are coming on you from many, many older scenarios, it's just going to start to dissipate them, and you're going to have a lot more free energy in your lower back and your sacrum to really have some much more intense dreaming scenarios, as well as going to be able to heal yourself. And one of the other things you can do is after the salt bath, when you go to sleep at night, I want you to put about a half cup of salt into a bag and put it on your tailbone. You know, just use your underwear to hold it in place or a little bit of medical tape and just leave it there all night. And I also want you to put another one on the back of your neck.
Okay.
It is really, really going to help you. And as you're doing your ritual where you're going to sleep, ask your Arcturian guide to be in full protection of the bag of salt, to begin to act as the spiritual filter, so that which you cannot hear, you can hear. That which you cannot see, so you can see. So you can be in perfect chemistry with the music they're co-creating with you.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Well, this has been special, Gary. I want to thank you for coming on the show. So what we're going to do is we're going to be moving on to the Q&A section here. So, Danielle, we're just going to transition here. Gary, thank you very much.
Thank you, and God bless. God bless all of you. Thank you, Danielle, and everybody involved.
All righty. So how is that chat room moving?
Oh, my gosh. Like, all of us, like, every single one of us was just in awe as we experienced that healing along with Gary. We've had some tears shared, and we were just amazed at how much his voice cleared up right after that. It was...
Yeah, people that are watching the video, I was getting my hand in there and literally touching the cyst and separating the Akashic record, and what I see... not with these eyes, and not with this third eye, because it's all combined, there's layers and streams of information that I can see with my left brain and my right brain. And then my center, my third eye, makes frequencies, and my eyes look at my third eye, which creates this inner hologram of information stream. And I can make that information stream very micro on specific objects like cysts, cancers, ovaries, whatever. And I can learn exactly why that thing was created. Now, I have done many, many, many musicians, the highest end, actresses at the highest end, and I find specific things like this where things that they wanted to include in their work, but they did not have the creative control to do it. And this is a classic way of the system of domination control corrupting a person at the light body frequency by literally cutting off what makes them really a soul. It's like making them eunuchs.
Intense. Does this happen very often to many different to people? Does this happen very often?
Women that have husbands that treat them like shit, husbands that have wives that treat them like shit. You know, you all know, you know, who's the dominant and who wears the pants in the family. And then there are times that they get so extreme that that's what happens when they suppress themselves. That's a different kind of suppression, that self-suppression, instead of the system coming in and going, no, 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 at all times. It's in Gary's particular scenario, the system made sure that those frequencies were eliminated, which really battered on his soul until it created the cyst.
That's intense. Does that happen in most scenarios where something physical like that will form, like a cyst or a blockage or an ulcer?
Many scenarios with breast cancer are specifically for women who enjoyed their breasts being looked at, and after a while opened up a sexual frequency where they would allow men to do things physically or spiritually with their breasts in awareness or unawareness, or their own disdain for their breasts. There are certain women who hate the size of their breasts. They're just not big enough. And that, after a while, will create a manifestation in there. Bladder problems, you know, that's a little bit different. The reason I bring that up, people that have issues with their bladder at an older age, yes, there's some medical issues there, but the vast majority of it is you're overworking your life, and that when you're having bladder control issues, you're having self-control issues, which is when to turn off your energy, when to be free, when to not say that I'm the slave driver of myself. And then in other scenarios, let's say people that have high blood pressure, your adrenal gland has been off for a very long time in your life, has been on in a very long time in your life, and you've been in fight or flight mode for a really long time. You may not think it. You may think, oh, I'm thriving. But in reality, you're not meeting your soul frequency. You're not really doing your goals. You've been lying to yourself for a really long time, and that's why you have high blood pressure. Diabetes is mostly diet and DNA, but diabetes that comes on, it also comes on from an extreme use of sugar at a young age. Whether you knew your parents were fooling you full of sugar or not doesn't matter. There were many, many foods in the 50s, 60s, and 70s that had so much sugar in it that it was labeled as 2 grams, but it was 200 grams.
Wow. And they just got away with that, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah, just like they had cocaine and Coca-Cola.
When did that finally stop?
1919, I think. 1920, something, just before the fall of the stock market. And that was just in America. I mean, they still had cocaine and Coca-Cola in the rest of the parts of the country, the world. till the 1950s. Sure. And it's not like they tested it either.
There was once someone I had talked to that said you wouldn't want to know what goes inside half the food.
Correct.
They give you.
That's right.
Like, I mean, you would want to know to be an awareness, but you wouldn't want to know as a sense of, oh, wow, that's fantastic.
Here's one for you. High fructose corn syrup is in absolutely everything. Do you know that to make high fructose corn syrup, you need mercury?
Ooh, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah, one of the most destructive poisons in the world for your neurobiological system, mercury. And so yet everything we eat poison. Is filtered through mercury.
That's why it's so important for those of you listening, learn about food and how to take care of the food and the energy you put into your body. Yeah. That's important. So are we good starting with some of the questions?
Because Let's go all right into the Q&A.
We're starting with Seabreeze here, who did ask a question. The question is, and I think this might have been kind of springing off what happened in the reading, he mentioned other elements also. So is this taking the wind, is talking to the wind as effective as talking to the fire? And this is in, I think, reference to revocation.
The answer is yes. Talking to the wind can be just as impressive as the fire. Fire is a lot more user-friendly.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit? Why is that the case?
You can go up and start a fire at any time. And then, you don't exactly have a big gust of wind, to keep telling your story to a fire for 2 hours. Unless you go to someplace that's windy with intention and do something there. Or you're just dealing with the element of air in just as nature. It is perspective, and when you're doing something as telling your story, you need something to interact with. Something that speaks back to you. If you're in a blank room with the safe walls and no frequency, all that it is your own reflection. When you're out in nature, you have everything else that can speak to you too, the birds, the chipmunks, the squirrels, whatever. So when you're dealing with wind, it'd be nice to have some wind. You can go out to the beach at any given point and pretty much have a 2-mile-an-hour wind. That's great. You can feel it as it's interacting with you. And then you're telling your story because that wind is a part of the whole earth. And when you let your voice out and go into it, you're letting your prayers, your words, be taken to the four directions so that Earth hears your story and spreads it to the whole frequency that is our element, that is our weather.
Right. Well, beautiful. And the wind is really lovely. And many people I know feel affinities with the wind as well. And that's a wonderful reason why, because you can share your story with the wind as well.
Can you talk your story to the thunderstorm? Yes. Planet. Look at the Weather Channel. thunderstorms can go hours at times.
They're beautiful. Is there, maybe this is kind of a strange question, but because there's certain geographical areas where thunderstorms are more likely to happen than others, and have they actually been removed from certain areas so people don't get the frequencies of thunderstorms?
Absolutely. There are certain areas that have, once they have thunderstorms, their ley lines go active. That's why many of the places that we call deserts today are deserts, so that their ley lines won't go active and alter the sacred geometry system, which is completely bypassing the current system.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, Jumping to the next question, regarding predator and prey relationships, is the predator and prey relationship natural to our world? Is the food chain natural, or no. Animals supposed to hunt and kill each other? Okay. No.
We came in with a 100% free will bubble of reality shared with Earth, and we get to co-create how we share that with every being and every soul family. So I could be standing here, and if I don't have you in my bubble of reality, in my bubble of soul family's reality, you never interact with me at any level. Our lives are always separate. And the Earth is the owners of those contracts and make sure that your bubbles of reality never cross. Their predator-prey scenario that was imported here was to break that concept, to bring everybody into this bigger frequency of everyone mixing together so they can begin to resolve karma. There are other species in other worlds who have a predator-prey life. But a predator comes in with all the contracts of everyone he's going to kill, and then all the prey that comes in know when they're going to die. And yet when that moment that they're in interaction, the prey is going through enlightenment of why this was going through. So the realities are set up very different. So, you know, here, you know, there are things that don't want to die, and yet they're killed by the predator species. And oftentimes they don't get a light review to find out why they died. That's why we have so many ghosts. That's why this particular system is so karmic polluting, so ghost polluting of the predator system we have, because there's a very limited way of resolving the ghost cat frequency or the dead rabbits on the side of the road that have tens of thousands of ghosts. There's not shamans going through and cleaning up that scenario, you know, in the modern society, where in the older generations, 300 years ago, that was a natural function. There was somebody that their function in the tribe, nation, state, or whatever it was, is to make sure the ghost, you know, didn't accumulate at a corner and screw everyone's lives up. You know, and then there's the natural order of predators, you know, where let's say a lion, a mountain lion kills a deer, you know, that's a mother, and the deer, you know, is a ghost. There's an organization of deer spirits who take care of that. But after a while, even those organizations can get bogged down with work or just be in a scenario where they can't leave their protected frequency because of all the higher frequency predator spirits who are looking for those beings that are resolving the ghost frequencies among certain things like rabbits, dogs, cats, emus, elephants, lions, so on and so forth.
Interesting. Will we be going back to a place where the predator prey system is removed, or is that all
going back to your own bubble of reality that you allow what you want in frequency, that you have a shielding protection frequency with the earth that says this is my sovereign reality and no one can get in unless I allow this experience to be shared?
Interesting.
Even you have a rules of what they remember from your reality. It's yours, all yours, and that's the responsibility that is coming with everyone. And that is why this fifth time around, that it's the time of awakening, is so damn tough for people, because now they have to take on the responsibility that in the future, you know, they're going to be in a much more awareness of what went on in the past, and that future awareness has responsibilities in the now moments to make sure that it's moving forward with energy cleanliness, that it's moving forward with the fact that it's going to have to shoulder that responsibility that you're a multidimensional being and that what you do now does affect your ancient future self severely.
Thank you. That is very wise words for us to know. Now, the other time we did talk about chakra, kundalini, and the removal of energy. So we have a question from Dante. Chakra and kundalini removal has been a very hot concept on my team's plate lately. I'm curious about Andrew's perspective on this.
Can you read the question again? You're breaking up there a second.
Oh, no problem. So the question is, this is from Dante. Chakra and kundalini removal has been a hot concept on my team's plate lately. I'm curious about Andrew's perspective on this.
Chakra removal and kundalini removal, are they referring to stealing the energy, parasites? Because there are people that believe they should have their chakras removed, and I've answered that question many times, that on one paradox timeline, our chakra system was hijacked and a false chakra system was put in, but it was never reincorporated to any of the other paradox timelines. We have our original chakra system. We just don't realize that there's 62 chakras that we can deal with in this frequency and more once we find that we are not just light or dark beings, that we have altered the belief system that we are all seven colors in multi-universal rainbow expression. So to answer that question, should you be removing your chakras? No, not at all. You should be realizing that there are dozens and dozens of more that have frequency combinations that allow you to perceive other dimensions and time streams. Any other dimensions and time streams that haven't even come into existence yet. And that's one of the reasons that we are in unawareness of what these other chakras are doing.
I see. I do hope that answered Dante's question. If he speaks up on the chat and mentions any clarification about them, I'll take a quick look here.
It was a little bit of a vague question sometimes.
It was a little bit vague, so I'm just going to take a quick look down here. And this is really wonderful, by the way, to have everybody here on the chat and talking with us, because it's just amazing to get everybody's feedback. I haven't read anything just yet from Dante, although we do have a little bit of a delay, but he probably would have gotten to that point by now. So I think we'll move to the next question here. And I did have one here that I had in mind. Let me pull it up here. So, okay, a lot of new age people try to live perfectly or in high vibration, believing that it will lead to a more rapid ascension. Is it possible for people to ascend in this lifetime, or does the whole planet have to ascend before anyone can?
Okay. There's no such thing as rapid ascension. There's no such thing as a perfect life. That's the first thing that the questioner has to realize, that we are not perfect beings, and as long as you are striving to be a perfect being, you're failing at the experiment in this life. The whole point of the exercise is to not be perfect, is to not be predictable, because perfection is predictable, and you make no mistakes in your plan that you make. We are beings of randomness. So when it comes to ascension on a global level, it is a individual journey first that does not have an end in time-space, because when it ends, we don't believe in the original version of what time-space is told to us. So ultimately, the awakening is a deeper understanding that the social agreement of time and the social agreement of space, that says how much time we occupy in space, is false. That it is just a social agreement that has been manipulated over tens of thousands of years, and our understanding of how it affects us in the now and how it affects our ancient future self is ultimately what the teachings and the awakenings will determine how fast those can go through the process and be no time beings instead of social time beings still in the system of domination and control. But as long as we're in this time, it can create our future lives and future dimensions. And when we declare our sovereign bubble of reality during these awakening times and we enforce a ritual life that may not be religious but at least says these are my rules, then that process of ascension, time changes. So is it speeding it up? Or is it you going in no time and allowing your mind and heart to resolve all issues in the infinite space instead of this finite timed space in which you are giving yourself a soul grade of whether you did it or not, when in fact it's not about the soul grade, it's Earth who determines what, when we're all done, when we're all have resolved all the karma that we've created, it'll be Earth's final decision of this awakening process. So is it the reporters that change us? Is it the politicians? No, it's Earth that gives the signal that the contracts are done and the resolution comes. And then out of free will, when all of us kind of know on a bigger scale, disclosure will come. And what will disclosure mean? That we as beings of a higher frequency and of a higher connection must maintain that, so all the others who are going to suddenly be ticks and leeches on us, looking, scrambling, wanting to know, we're going to have to be the infinite no-time beings so that we can maintain that connection for all of those people who are suddenly, you may not like it, are going to become ticks and leeches because they're afraid that they're not surviving anymore, that they must be told that they have to thrive, that they have to be creative, that they have to put down the cell phone and the computer and go out and do what they love. God forbid people do what they love. You know, I run across so many people that they ask me, what should I be doing in my life? If you don't know what you should be doing in your life, you're not thinking about your life enough. You know, the other scenarios, they come with me, they, you know, 40 years of a job, and now they want to know. That's a little different. That's a little different. When you really don't know what you should be doing, you need to get out there and do things so you can experience them and make them a part of your frequency.
I wanted to share with you that people in the chat are just really amazed by not only today's reading, but just these answers. And it's being stated as one that should be listened to and read many times over.
Well,
so
we've got some really good people that are going through the chat and making sure the questions come through. You know, I have an entire team that puts together the readings. You know, we got the guys at BBS Radio. Doug, thank you very much. You guys are awesome. And then we also do this on Google Hangouts where we're doing our live video. And then we're also going to be simulcasting here on Blog Talk shortly. You know, so we are really making sure we have all the avenues of people to come to these types of shows and go through a process like this show where we start with a stream read and we work on different aspects so people can begin to be multidimensional and apply this to their lives. And I said earlier I had a 30-show plan. Well, that was 30. We're on show 28 now. Show 27 has another. Show 26, show 25. So I'm telling people out there that are regular viewers, there's a lot of stuff that's going to be released as teachings through these readings. And there'll be shows that I don't have readings where it'll be me speaking specific things that are going to be topics that we all need to begin to look at and process or not to process. You know, there's a big, 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 giant opportunity for people to grab back huge chunks of their soul shards on December 21st if they actually do something on October 20th to the 23rd that doesn't involve the TV, the computer, culture, it involves themselves and being spiritual. Whatever it is that makes you spiritual, just turn the computer off, be by yourself, find what makes you spiritual and demand that your sovereign being make choices and follow through with them. Because coming on December the 21st, nothing's going to happen, but your spirit, your spark of souls, all of those things are coming back to you, which makes 2015 very unpredictable. 2014 was one of the most predictable years of this entire process because the system is running. Well, the system is running out of the energy that it uses to fund these missions and things that it does. And we are its batteries. We are its bank account, and it's now in the black. And there are certain sections that still pay out good, you know, like Las Vegas, Rome. They're still sucking the energy out of those people. But those people were soul contracted to do that. Now they're running out. Even those big groups that they charge on have nothing left to give. And when there's nothing left, they have to go into their own private bank accounts of energy. The Rothschilds and the Bilderbergers. And those guys don't like spending their own money. Especially when you have one news reporter that comes out and says all news is fake and I've been chained for 30 years to make sure it all sounds fake. One interview makes it out. It doesn't matter if it's one view or 100,000 views. As long as it's out in the frequency, they're done. You know, it's like the Georgia Guidestones. You know, once we knew what's in there, the cat's out of the bag, they had to change it. Otherwise, we would decode what they're doing in that ritual format of enhancing our belief systems.
Many people have been following along with the code stone message that you sent them to with Mr. Cat Eyes videos as well. And for those of you listening, because there have been questions from the previous shows where to find him, we will include a link to you can see that you can view his videos to the link to his channel in the description as well, because they are worth seeing. Get those answers. So we have another question here that's been kind of burning in our minds. So question regarding ancestral DNA lineage. If our current skin suit is an amalgamation of generations of breeding / offspring, could it be said that our souls were involved from the beginning to produce the skin suit today? I have heard a number of people say that being sovereign starts by not paying taxes, i.e. feeding or buying into the system, and this can be difficult for people. So what's a more practical approach to this issue?
All right, that's a long question, and what we're going to do is something we did in one of our league Q&As. I want you to break the question down and go slow. And I'll answer it as the different layers come in, because that's a many-layered question.
Understand. Okay, so question, and just let me know when to stop.
Go ahead.
Regarding ancestral DNA lineage, if our current skin suit is an amalgamation of generations of breeding slash offspring.
Hold on. It is an amalgamation of generations of breeding and offspring, your mother and father and their mother and father, but not every soul has lived in every DNA lineage. Okay, go on.
Okay. Could it be said that our souls were involved from the beginning
Not in every DNA lineage, though you may have had some ancillary way of making that DNA lineage evolve. Like you may have been in another DNA lineage that went to war with a different DNA lineage, and so through that karmic interaction, both of those went through evolution stages. Keep going.
Okay. To produce the skin suit today, and then goes, have heard a number of people say that being sovereign starts by not paying taxes.
No, being sovereign starts with your own energy field and energy awareness. To say that you're not paying taxes is telling the system one thing, but you're still fully entangled at the energy level. You are a being of photonic light first.
Right, okay.
Sovereignty comes with your out loud words of saying that you're going to do it, and then finding the frequency in yourself in this matrix reality to find out what sovereignty means to the matrix side. And such as what Gary said, signing that thing that the New Earth Nation has about the treaty and the trust and all that was big for him to say that I'm a sovereign being. And he went through that choice of saying that this was big for me, and he went and did it, and it was a good healing for him. This is why I do law and sovereignty shows, is to remind those spiritual people that may have allergies to the law and sovereignty material. You have an allergy for a reason. And if it just takes one show for you to get the frequency, for you to go out and do the contract revocations and maybe signing the New Earth Nation treaty for your own self, whether you like the wording, you know, it's pretty advanced philosophical sovereignty material. The top of the law people in the world have developed this treaty that all people in this world can sign, a true fifth dimensional treaty here on Earth. Never before in our history has this been available to us.
Perfect. And I think you answered the last part of the question, because it said, what's a more practical approach to this issue? And you essentially...
Spiritual and energy awareness. Saying no. That's the first thing. And learning how to say no effectively. So what no means no, and it's not just, you know, what you don't understand, the N or the O.
Exactly. Okay, I have a question now. It's the kind of question that I really like. Can you guess what it's about, Andrew?
Feet.
Oh, okay. All right, you got me. You got me.
Yeah, she's all right.
So that was good. That was good. You got me. That was fair. Okay. Question: communicating with the wind, fire, water, earth, and the elements. And this is what we were talking about earlier when we were talking about talking to the fire, the wind. So communicating with the wind, fire, water, earth, etc., are we actually communicating with the elemental dragons?
No and yes. No, if you don't know what you're doing, because you may be contacting something else, because you're not fully aware of your own energy. And yes, if you know what you're doing and you've figured out that there's a signature frequency when you're protected by the placenta of the earth, and that being that your dragon interactive matrix energy is there, and you're functioning with it in a mental and physical communication mode in which you are in the control seat of your heart in a love expression, fully functioning with that without an influencing being code wording with you.
Interesting. And I know that you have talked before about communicating with dragon energies, and we do have the dragon teaching that goes way in depth for that. But do you have maybe a basic level, just for those who are listening who may just want the spark of interest there on knowing if they're able to communicate with the dragon or not?
Well, how do you know that you and I are speaking? I'm not being difficult. I'm trying to help that person understand.
Sure.
How do we know that we're speaking? We've been taught. If you've not talked with spirit before, you have to begin to try. And there's a signature frequency when you're doing it right. And that's not something I can just say in words that have English, because they have feelings behind them that, unless you're deeply empathic, you know, and can read all those deeper frequencies of what I'm trying to put through, it's an experiential thing. You know when you know. You know when you're in love. You know when you're talking to that being. But you also don't know if that being is true or not until you've come into the seat of your heart with your sovereign power and begin to work with your soul energy that says you have soul frequencies that are in your light body codes that are already reached the zone of trust. They're the highest layers of your soul family trust organization who are your spirit guides. And yes, it's a hierarchical order, but a hierarchical order that was installed here on Earth for the slave societies 40 million years ago, that knowing that once we were fully reduced, that those spiritual guides would be very inconsequential in some of the longer-term evolutions. So some spirit guides lost their jobs, quite literally. And, you know, when you're looking for a job for 30 million years, you get kind of desperate. And that's why there's so many of these channeled beings going around, some saying really damn good material, and other times it's half-assed. You know, it's constantly repetitive. It has nothing new to it. It's the same thing redone and redone and redone. Why? Because they've tapped into a source that is ultimately a limiting source, and they've lost their own source. If they've gone so external for so long that the beings that come into their body are just doing whatever they want to do. And that being that's allowing their voice to be used or their hand to be used in automatic writing is completely unaware of how energy chess is being played through them. So how do you know when you're working with your dragon energy? Well, first thing first is ceremonial time with yourself, meditation time with yourself, healing time with yourself. So you know what you is, so that when that dragon energy that is assigned to you, that has the signature frequency from Earth, it has part of you in it. And not only do you have that residual image that you know is you, that when other beings try to talk over it or influence it, you should be quite aware that this being would never say anything negative, that this being that's working with you is there to co-create with you at all times. And when you begin to lead astray of co-creation and you want it to be a hierarchical self-creation, that dragon energy isn't working with you. So when you're speaking and you're working with the dragon energies, when you begin to deviate from the neutrality, it deviates from working with you. And oftentimes they leave and you just continue filling in the blanks with your shadow, and you don't even realize you're really having an argument with your shadow or debate, philosophical debate with your own shadow. And that's the tough part about consciousness exploration. That's why the foundation basics of the self are so vitally important, especially now.
Beautiful. And that was just a wonderful foundation for anyone who's interested in connecting with that. If you really, really are interested in connecting with the elements and with the dragons, I would advise you to go get the teachings. For those of you listening live or watching this live or even in the archives, you can find those teachings right on the Galactic Historian store. It's just a beautiful, beautiful series of teachings. How are you feeling with questions, Andrew? Where is your energy?
We've done enough. We started with Q&A. We've pounded mm-hmm. through. And I think we're going to end the show here. I mean, we have really gone through a tremendous amount of material. And, you know, I want to thank everyone that jumped into the chat room at GalacticHistorian.com/live. You know, we were rocketing that chat room. And I want to let everyone know on this coming Tuesday, we're going to be having another show here on Google Hangouts, as well as Thursday. And then the next, not this coming Saturday, but the next Saturday, we'll also be on BBS Radio. We have a really big amount of shows that are planned. And for those people, please get out and share these videos. We are building up an audience that can ask really solid, hard questions. We're an open format. So we encourage people to stop on the GalacticHistorian.com and sign up for the newsletter. Sign up for when the shows are, or you can sign up for the League and be a part of the League of Consciousness Explorers, which is going to be doing a major part of the webinar Q&A sections here that we're going to be coming up with.
Wonderful. And just like we stated as well, for those, the one reason we did this new chat feature, one reason we have this in the sidebar is in our old chats, if we relied on the YouTube chats, all the lovely questions and comments would disappear, and now we can actually archive your questions and many of the things that were discussed on the chats, and hopefully even be able to pull out some questions for a rapid-fire question series that we may be releasing on the League if you do join that. And to clarify, and we'll kind of close on a footnote, as we might call it.
F-O-O-T-E.
Well, because, you know, a few people were asking in the chat, well, what's the deal with the foot? What's the deal with the foot? Well, I just wanted to give a little insight. As we mentioned in the League, we actually do have open format Q&As. So, you know, although we focus on Q&As from the readings on these live shows, in the League Q&A, you can ask about anything. And one day we had a question come in about a foot. A foot. And it was
the
not just any
foot fetishes.
The sexual foot. Can a gay man have a sexual attraction to women's feet? And, you know, it was something that sent Andrew and I cracking up. So now when he brings up a question about feet, when we always ask, what can we ask the galactic historian who has the answers to over 20,000 Akashic records, we asked him a question about, can a gay man like women's feet? And that's our favorite so far.
Somebody will stop it sooner or later. I have no doubt in the power of people.
And I also just wanted to mention, you know, with talks of dragon energies and dragon questions that we had, please do check please do check out the dragon teaching. Now, we have to share just very briefly, Andrew, why was this dragon? Because it's not just a one-part lesson. This is over, I think, was it combined 4.5 hours?
Yeah, 4.5 hours.
Okay, this is 4.5 hours of teachings on dragons, dragon healing, and dragon lessons. I mean, this was, we have the first part, which is Dragon 1, where Andrew goes into the talk on what dragon elemental energy is and how it heals us. But then in part two, this was a huge, it was a live event that we had done at the time, including a dragon Q&A that we had at the end. But this was actually a healing that had happened for many dragons. How did you phrase it, Andrew, when we first did this and we had to do healing for the dragons? How was it that you explained it so beautifully before?
It was an opportunity in which a sacred neutral witness can bring forth all of the things that they were not able to communicate over many millions of years into a signature frequency that was that moment of that time, so that the dragons that are both positive and negative, both slaves and hierarchical order controllers, can come to a resolution of truth about what they were and what they are. As I've said before, dragons are elemental forces created by a planet that have been given sovereignty. Some dragons were created in a different perspective, and our universe transitioned from a non-free-willed world universe to a free-willed universe, and some dragon energies that were never meant to be separate from the planet sovereign sparks suddenly became sovereign sparks. So you have different hierarchical layers of dragons. And for them all to come to the same truth that they all had an original source that went through this free will process, that they could unify their soul shards, even for themselves.
And this was an event too, for those that didn't know, that everyone who was participating had to go through a very intense amount of ceremony to be able to record this in a proper way.
Without influence coming through.
Exactly, and it was such a beautiful and rare recording. We really do encourage you to go ahead and find that. I've actually posted the link to where you can find this dragon video. It is at, for those of you listening, galactichistorian.com/dragon, DRAGON, and that's where you can find this teaching. And you know, it's very intense and very beautiful, so we encourage that. Thank you so much, Andrew, today, you know, for this amazing healing and reading experience.
You're welcome.
Just beautiful.
And I want to thank Gary for coming on. And for those people that want to be a part of the future reading shows, you can go to galactichistorian.com and send in a request for a reading. That's for the reading show, or you can get a regular reading also. But what we're asking is you give me something that I can read from your signature frequency. And we're asking about your first 10 minutes of the day, and some people are really scant on what they write, 6 words, 10 words. That's not enough. And then some other people, you know, they put in tremendous amounts of personal stuff, and that's not suitable for a lot of reading shows. So when we're making selections of these, I'm actually scanning into the Akashic record and looking for those people that have a tremendous potential that people can get healings from, people can get learning and teaching from in their own voice, through their own emotions as they're connecting to this different reading. So when you fill that out, tell me about your dreams or your ceremonial life or your experiences. Don't give me 45 pages. We're not going to read 45 pages. 300 words. Take time to write it. Just don't flip it out on your computer in 15 minutes and think that that's the frequency that's going to get through. You're competing with hundreds and hundreds of others, and we want the best here, and we want you to do your best. So please go up and sign up for those that want to be a part of the reading shows. There's 28 shows left. That's another possibility of 40 more people that can be on by the end of the year.
Beautiful. And this is just such a big opportunity for everyone involved, and we want to connect with you. We want to hear from you. And even if you don't come on the reading show, come ask the questions. Be part of the chat. You bring so much to this experience. So thank you. And thank you to Andrew and to Santi and our wonderful Nat that are behind the scenes and to
Doug at BBS Radio.
Yes, Doug at BBS Radio. Wonderful.
And all the gremlins that stood away.
Yes.
All right, guys, this has been a wonderful show. All right, Doug on BBS and Santi on Google Hangouts, take us away. We'll be back at same bat time, same bat channel.